All right. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition. This is Jeffrey Hipschman coming to you from Denver, Colorado. And we have a cool guest on today. We have Jamie Bells, who is an NTP with fitness and nutrition. She's an entrepreneur, business owner extraordinaire, very faithful, very loving mother, and she also is a wife, and we want to do a great introduction to Jamie. Welcome to Mountain Man Nutrition, Jamie.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Cool.
I'm cool.
You're super cool.
I got the double cool today.
You did. I didn't say right on, though. So, like, people are like, you say right on all the time. So,
yeah, it's good to listen back and hear those crutch words. That, like, but the funny thing is, once you stop saying one, you move another one right into its place.
Oh, yeah. I'll pick up all kinds of bad habits. That's what's fun about this, because it just doesn't matter, right? You just let it go.
Like I said, rock it. We've got
that. Well, again, thanks for being here, Jamie. And we'll just tell our listeners right now, when we hear a baby cry, we're either going to roll with it or we're going to stop the show and just end it there. We don't know. We'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah, exactly. That's as I said before we started, he's a ticking time bomb, and he's a good baby, but he only cries when he's hungry, and he's been napping for a while, so next is hungry.
I get it. With my two-year-old,
we'll
I get it.
Do what we can.
So, Jamie, tell us about your story. Are you did you get into being a fitness and nutritional therapy because of a healing journey, or you just wanted to take fitness to a new level? Give us a little story. Tell the listeners a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I won't go all the way back. But I mean, generally speaking, I grew up on a farm in northern Minnesota. So we went four kids, and we lived in the middle of nowhere. And so we raised all of our own meats and veggies. And I'm very, very fortunate to have been raised on that diet. And then highly active too. You know, we did a lot of outside chores and running and going and doing. We grew up without television. And so, we had to be. And then dad went to town to get parts one day, and we were supposed to be greasing the equipment to go out and bale hay. And he came back, and we were all sitting inside watching, you know, probably like The Young and the Restless or something. Like, we had four channels, so it certainly wasn't anything too good. But yeah, so the cord on the television got cut. We didn't have television ever again. And so, anyways, I grew up that way, went off to college. I actually got a job in radio, and so it was a lot less moving and doing and far more sitting. And I started to notice that that I needed to move, or I was going to be packing on pounds quite readily. And so as a radio promotion, actually, I was offered the services of a personal trainer. And that was my first time in my life that I ever experienced the gym. And I mean, I was an athlete in high school, but I mean, I never spent any time in the gym. Like, we flipped up bale rings and, you know, picked rock.
The gym was the farm. I get it.
When I first started working out with this trainer, my dad was like, I was living up in Alaska at the time, and my dad was like, come home to the farm, for crying out loud. You can pay me all the money you want to pick rock, and I'll get you in shape. And but it turned out to be a really good experience. I fell in love with weight training. And so that carried with during this time. You know, I was kind of fresh out of college, paying off student loans. I was broke. And so I didn't really eat the best diet. I didn't understand how important that was. Fortunately, I still had mom and dad throwing us some beef along the way. And we lived in Alaska, so seafood was fantastic. But nonetheless, I continued on this journey, and actually I found myself, we were back in the lower 48, as they call it in Alaska. I was living in Missouri as the director of marketing for a hospital, believe it or not.
Wow, what city in Missouri? Which town in Missouri? Which city?
Bethany, Missouri. It's just south of the Iowa border.
Oh, got it. Right on.
And so I was working there and quickly realized that, you know, if we do this correctly, we're essentially putting ourselves out of business, right? And I tried really hard. I did some cool things. It was a lot of fun. I did some programs for kids in the schools around there. And actually, that's where I discovered that, like, we need to put this into our children. Like, we need to instill this healthy living concept into them. And I also realized how hard that is to do when the parents are the ones driving the shopping carts. You can teach kids about health all you want and what to eat, but they're not the ones that are bringing the food home. And so those good choices can be difficult at times for them. But fast forward a little bit, I got out of that and just opened. I started my own marketing company just long enough to get picked up by an energy company based out of Alaska. It's a company that was pairing hydrogen fuel cells with renewable energy sources to get people off grid. So I was living in Minnesota at the time and now traveling up to Alaska and over to Europe. So I didn't have access to my gym. And so I had to start running, which was not something that I had ever appreciated at all. I've had to really develop that appreciation for running.
Right, I get it.
But so as I was up in Alaska, I will say running's a lot easier when you're running through the Alaskan mountains and the Italian countryside. That's a little more enjoyable. It's far more of some me and God time and, you know, prayer meditation while you're running and seeing the sights.
A little better than Missouri cornfield, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Or treadmill running. I think I'd rather just give up altogether. If my only exercise option was treadmill running, I'd call her quits and just be like, yeah, no. So anyways, I was on a due diligence tour over in Italy. And our last night there, I was scheduled to do, I had 5 days in Germany, and then I was coming back to the U.S. for 5 days, and then I was turning and burning and moving to Hawaii.
Wow.
We're going to be stationed there for a while. And my last night in Italy, we got in a really bad car accident. We rolled end over end in a Fiat, landed upside down in a drainage ditch, and I woke up 3 days later with bilateral respiratory failure. My lungs had completely collapsed, and I was unconscious for 3 days. I was in a CPAP bubble. They don't have those in the U.S., but essentially it was like a pressure bubble, if you will, that was pumping oxygen in. And so I was stuck in ICU in Italy for a couple of weeks and had some major epiphany moments of, you know, what life is actually really all about. And my doctors told me that had I not been so healthy going into my car accident, I likely would not have survived. And so it hit me like a brick wall, and I eventually got back to the U.S., which is a whole different podcast story. but I eventually made it home, and in the process, like I said, I just had this revitalized something in me that that I had to tell the world. It was an obligation to tell the world that, you know, being healthy literally and figuratively saves your life, because not only did it save me physically, but if you connect with it, that when I'm healthier, I'm a better person. I'm happier. I'm spreading joy. I'm a better mom. I'm a better spouse. I'm a better daughter, a better friend, a better employee, employer, whatever you want to say. You know, I'm just better if I'm healthy.
Right. There's something really profound about having a purpose and knowing what to do with the knowledge that you have. you know, whether that comes through prayer, meditation, an accident, or something great happening to you, it doesn't yes. really matter where it comes from. When you understand that, it's amazing. It's like for me being a chef, I can really benefit people by, you know, feeding them at the restaurant. But becoming a nutritional therapist, the foundation of that is to be able to benefit as many people as I possibly can. So it really Absolutely. Sounds like this is how you found that goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And that's exactly it. It's being able to, 'cause I believe that we each have a mission. We have a purpose, and that's why we're here. Some of us, many of them. And if we're healthy, we're actually able to do those things. But if we're not healthy, and that can be in any way, whether we're unhealthy physically or if we're unhealthy emotionally, mentally, spiritually, you know, I believe in the holistic approach. We need to be wholly healthy. And so, you know, if you're able to be healthy and to serve your purpose, imagine our globe if people were healthy and doing the things that they were put here to do. You know, what an incredible orchestra worth of instruments we would be rather than what we are.
Right on. I said it. So is this when you really turned to nutrition and learning?
Yeah. So I was grounded. I couldn't fly. Once I got back to the U.S., I just had a lot of rehabilitation to do, and I needed to really baby my lungs. And so I stayed home, and I started as a personal trainer. So I did my certification and got into doing that just long enough to realize that there are so many incredible personal trainers in this country, and the world doesn't need one more person counting reps and providing accountability and fitness.
Right.
They most definitely need to know what to eat. The clients that I was working with, they'd be killing it like 5 days a week, 5 o'clock in the morning at the gym and not seeing any progress. And I couldn't figure it out. And then finally one day I was asking one of my clients, I'm like, what are you eating? And she's like, oh, I eat healthy. I eat this, this, this. And I'm like, you know, I couldn't figure it out. Finally, I had her log her journal of food for me, and she brought it back, and I'm like, something's still not right. What else are you doing? She's like, oh yeah, I saw her doing like a Girl Scout cookie exchange in the parking lot at the gym, like total drug deal. And I was like, well, where are those on this list? Have you been eating those? And she shamefully admitted she'd been pounding a sleeve of Thin Mints a day on her way home from work. Like that was her little reward for herself.
Wow.
And so thin I had mints my aha moment.
There's like 700 ingredients in that, those things, right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. But the Girl Scouts benefit like 3 cents a box on them. So it's for a good cause.
Yeah, for sure.
3 cents. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Right.
but anyways, so I just realized that it was far more about food, and I got into the NTP program. So very thankful that I did, because not only has it turned into an incredible career in which I love, but I actually had some things that I didn't even realize. They were total blind spot. Why am I not? Yeah. Yeah. You know how sometimes when words don't sound right, whatever. Yeah, my blind spot. There we go. But anyways,
every day, every day, every time I do this podcast, it's like, this is not the word I was looking for.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I'm gonna blame it on having an infant that wakes me up, interrupting that REM sleep every night.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
I don't know what your excuse is, but I'm rocking that one for at least another 6 months.
Well, my excuse was I was up at 4 o'clock this morning and normally don't get up till 5:30. So I was up super early.
Yeah.
But it's all good. I felt great when I woke up. You know, I got 6 hours of sleep, which was my normal. So whatever time I get to bed is about
six hours is your normal.
Six and a half. Yeah, and I function really highly on that. Unless I got to work, at 3 o'clock till midnight, then I try to get an hour nap in. Just because it's like I'm up till midnight, 1 o'clock, you know. So
yeah.
I better get an extra hour's nap. But
I've been reading the latest National Geographic has a big study in it on sleep, or a big article about sleep. And it's pretty interesting. I should send it your way because that's another huge foundational piece to this whole thing.
I talk about sleep a lot. It is super foundational, you know, and it's everything is connected to sleep. You know, your weight loss, your adrenal function, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So,
to really try not to drag out my how in the world I got to where I am today story out that much longer, I paired my NTP education with the fitness side, and now my niche, my primary focus, is helping people, whether they are just getting started and they haven't worked out since like 1972, or if they're trying to improve their marathon time and Ironman and such. So I have everything in between. It's a ton of fun. We are in a actual storefront location now, which has been a journey getting to this piece, this part. It's been lots of fun. So here I am today.
All right. Well, let's walk through a new client comes into you and is really kind of adrenally shot. Their digestion isn't working well. They just don't feel good. They have no energy. What's your process? How are you gonna walk them through some consultation and benefiting them? How are you gonna get them back on track?
Well, we go through a pretty extensive process. I actually begin at the very beginning. A lot of people that are dealing with gut issues, which we know if you're dealing with gut issues, nothing else is really working very well either. And a lot of people dealing with gut issues, it stems all the way back to rounds and rounds and rounds of antibiotics as a child. And so we go all the way back to how they were born and what's happened shortly thereafter and over the course of their lives, and really try to get to the root of the why, because that's the best place to start. And so we focus almost always, we focus on digestion, hydration. Getting enough sleep. We talk about are they doing something with meditation or just calm and silence? Like in this crazy busy world that we're in, there's so many distractions. And I've noticed that even with myself sometimes, if I have a spare second, I feel like I need to fill it. And we don't take time to just breathe and be anymore. And so we talk about that. Especially fitness people. I have a lot of fitness people who are so just tacked out and they can't stop that. And so, so we work in some things to help them with that piece. So we start with just kind of an investigative period. We do some online assessments. We do some physical assessments and get good starter numbers, because down the road it's really fun to look back and see how far someone has come.
Oh, absolutely. And that goes for ourselves too, because there's I'm on a healing journey as well. And just to look at a chart and see my graph and see how much I've healed and different symptoms that I no longer have, mine are obviously related to type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance, but just to see those disappear or go down, it's amazing. It makes you feel amazing, you know?
Yes. Absolutely, and accomplished, because if you're doing it right, it's such a slow process. And so it can, and it's funny because I've been tracking my post-baby weight, which is funny because I'm I really don't encourage people to track their weight because muscle weighs more than fat. So it's actually a really silly thing to do.
Right.
And the heaviest I ever was when I was, besides being pregnant, was when I was in the best shape I've ever been in, was benching and squatting. And, you know, like when I was hitting my squat goals, my max rep on that, I was pretty heavy, but that was a lot of muscle.
Right.
And so anyways, but I've been tracking it and it's so funny because it's like a mountain range. It's down and it's up and it's down and it's up. And I mean, it's trending downward. Like we're making our way down, but it certainly isn't just this like 10 pound weight loss. And you know,
yeah, I really tell clients, especially because most of my clients are all overweight. You can't get on the scale more than once a month because it's so depressing and it could really mess up your mind. You know, especially right. if you're on a day-to-day basis, getting on that scale, because it's got nothing to do with nothing. You know,
yes.
It's not anything to do with ultimate health. And I say this all the time, we don't lose weight to get healthy. We get healthy to lose weight.
Yes. And I've found that people that weigh themselves on a daily basis, well, so, and there are several things that can play into that. Hydration is, of course, a big part of it. Water weighs a lot, and our bodies are carrying varying amounts of water every day. And so, I'll have people that will get so obsessed with those numbers on the scale that then they'll start trying to assign, like, oh, I'm up 0.8 pounds today from yesterday. It must have been this thing that I ate or this thing that I did. And that's just not a road to success.
No, absolutely not. Not to mention if you stop drinking water because you don't want the extra weight and now you're dehydrated and this is causing so right. many issues.
Right. Right. I know I've actually worked with a couple of people who have done fitness competitions, and I might get shame from some friends for saying this, but there's no healthy way of doing that.
Right.
And because it comes down to the very end, it's like absolute starvation and dehydration to get that shrink wrapped look.
Wow.
And that's not good.
Can't recommend that.
No.
So tell me a little bit, how does what you do and your focus link up with type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance? How are they connected?
Yes. So, I mean, many people don't think about diet and exercise as an alternative medicine, but they definitely fall under that category. Diet and exercise are huge in treating all types of disease, especially diabetes. You know, there's a piece of it that I will say, just as kind of a side note, as I said, when I'm healthier, I quit self-sabotaging in other areas. And this one in particular, if I go and work out in the morning, I am on point with my diet for the rest of the day because I want to make sure that I'm, you know, putting the good stuff back in. So I'm getting my proper muscle recovery. And also it's like, oh no. I worked really hard this morning and I'm not going to go and like eat something trashy that's going to counteract those efforts. And so that piece of it, I think, is huge in just adding exercise in helps you mentally to really want to improve diet. But in addition to that, you know, there's a very real thing in the concept that what you eat and how active you are impacts your blood sugar level and your overall health. I mean, that's real. That's very proven.
It's amazing too, is people really don't understand that, especially insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, it's a chronic illness that takes 10, 20, 30, 40 years to develop. So mm-hmm. just because you don't have it now or you're not seeing symptoms now, it doesn't mean you're not insulin resistant or heading in that direction. And I tell people too, is like some of these symptoms you would say that they're seeing, like brain fog, not sleeping well, sore muscles all the time, you know, bad digestion, all these can be reversed and or helped a lot just by looking at your blood sugar regulation, even if you're not type 2 diabetic yet.
Yes. Yes. Well, so the World Journal of Diabetes published a, I don't know what you call it, I guess they looked at multiple studies and published about the relation between diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and exercise, and shown that physical activity is one of the best treatments for controlling type 2 diabetes. And the same goes for type 1. Of course, you know, people with type 1 need to really carefully monitor their blood sugar levels because they're more likely to have a hypoglycemic episode during exercise. But even the ADA, which authority on diabetes, right? even the ADA says that you should work out 2 times per week.
Well, they got and, something right.
I'm so sorry. Can I just say that? So I mean, I don't agree with the ADA on their nutritional side. I can't say I completely agree with them on their how much they think that people should exercise. Because I think every day we need, and that's the thing. Exercise doesn't have to be, you know, plop, plop, plop on the treadmill. Like, it doesn't have to be a grueling fitness regimen. Just getting outside, breathing, and moving. Yeah. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, my exercise yesterday was walking Max in his cart up the hill and back down and around the neighborhood. You know, yes. Like 45 minutes of dragging him around in his cart was a good exercise for me. It was perfect, especially when I'm dealing with injuries and ankle issues like that. So it's like no excuse out there that you can't do something, you know. And yes. I typically put in 15 to 20 minutes of stretching, a yoga stretch routine that I have every day, you know, before an exercise. So it doesn't have to be paying $150 at the gym every week. But, you know, there's always something you could do, even if it's pushing the lawnmower around extra.
Right. And, you know, going for a walk such a wonderful thing. In addition to that, you can build this stuff in. When I was working a desk job, I would build it into my everyday. So I would force myself to, every time that I went to the bathroom, that was my marker for when I would do this. Every time that I went to the bathroom, I would do, I don't remember how many now, but 30 squats, and then I do push-ups on the sink. And that might sound crazy, but it was how I worked it into my day. I didn't have time to do it otherwise. And if I left it for later in the evening, I never did it. And so so that was my thing. And then I had a Bosu ball at home that at that time, our family loved watching American Idol. And so I would make myself do like whole different yoga poses on the Bosu ball while I was watching it, because that was just something that I could incorporate. And I had those little grip strengthen spring things, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I had those in my car just to do something.
I have one in my car that I use driving to and from work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's much better than texting while driving or Facebooking while driving or Instagramming while driving, right. Folks.
Don't do that.
This is your public service announcement for the day. But I just like excuses are excuses. And if you can get past that excuse, because that's the thing about finding an excuse to not do it today. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Or oh, I'll start Monday. That becomes like 4 months and then 4 years. I mean, for real, that happens. When I say somebody that hasn't worked out since 1972, I have those clients all the time. And oftentimes their story is, you know, well, in 1971 and 9 months, I was killing it. And then X happened and it all unraveled after that. And that doesn't need to be that way. No matter where you are, if you start with something simple, just get started.
Right on.
And eventually it becomes an addictive thing. Our bodies love it. So we push all these awesome feel-good hormones and chemicals and then we want more of it.
That's right. Just exactly the same thing with food. I tell people that the first thing that they want to do is start adding nutritious, dense, you know, nutrient-dense food to the diet. And that way their body, because it's so nutrient deficient, will start craving these other foods. And they'll start eating these healthier foods because their body is going to want it and crave it. So speaking of that, what's your diet? What do you, what's your everyday type of meal? Tell our
I talked about everything inside of me. Like the first thing that popped in my head was going to be some BS answer. Like, I usually swing through Mickey D's on the way. No, I macronutrient wise, which would be, for those who don't know, your carbs to fats to proteins ratio. I tend to swing high fat. I love, and I eat a huge variety of fats. But I'm probably around like 70% fat. And then, depending on what I've done, my activity level, how much protein I need, I split the rest of that up accordingly for between the proteins and carbs. I eat very, very, very little grains. I just don't function well on them. I do, the only dairy that I do is cheese. I love cheese, and I do heavy whipping cream in my coffee. But otherwise, as I mentioned before, you know, I'm super fortunate. My parents are beef farmers, and so I have access to farm raised beef that, you know, quality source.
Awesome.
And I mean,
let me ask you this, Jamie, because I really talk about high fat variety diets, especially for type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance. You want that high fat, you know, very low carbs, but you don't have any sugar issues. I mean, if you guys see Jamie, she's super fit, you know, awesome, healthy, no sugar issues. But you're still eating a very high fat diet.
Absolutely. But that doesn't mean so fortunately I'm out of the, because, and I will say this, just because somebody looks like they don't struggle with sugar does not mean that is the case. One of the displays that I have that I could share it with you and you could post it somewhere for people is a sample of a diet that, when I do presentations for groups, I tell everybody that the average American eats 170 to 190 pounds of sugar. And everyone in my class is always like, oh, that's not me.
Let's see your food journal.
For sure. Nobody wants to be that person. But then I have a sample food journal that shows a diet that by just a once over looks pretty healthy. But if you're eating that particular diet, if those types of foods appear in your diet on a regular basis, things like yogurt, that, you know, the Yoplait,
sugar bombs,
stuff, you are consuming, the total on that one is 196 pounds of sugar annually.
Wow.
And so a lot of people think they are doing it right, but they could really benefit by having somebody go over it and help them to see where their blind spots are. And then also, if somebody doesn't necessarily have the money or desire to reach out and work with somebody one-on-one, a really good resource tool would be a food app where you can log it. Like MyFitnessPal is a really good one. That's a free app where you can log the foods that you eat every day, and then it gives you the breakdown, the macronutrient breakdown, and then also like your sugar consumption for the day. And that can help you find those sugar bombs that you are completely unaware of, like ketchup.
Yeah. Barbecue sauce.
Yes.
It's ranch dressing. I can't believe it. People like ranch dressing is delicious if you use healthy fats just to make it, and, you know, heavy cream, and some healthy fat mayonnaise. And then for some reason, I don't understand why, that they put tons of sugar in it and it's not necessary. It's just all these little condiments are not good.
I know. But that's where the American taste buds are conditioned to desire that and to like that now. It's so terrible. But And I apologize. I forget you asked me a question and I spun off on a tangent about how not too long ago was definitely dealing with some sugar dysregulation. So.
It's all good. Tangents is where all the really good information comes anyway, right?
True story.
Right down a rabbit hole. Yeah. So anyway, I just want to mention too is like when you start eating a high fat diet, a low sugar diet, low carbohydrate diet, your taste buds really freak out when you get a little bit of sugar after you're really fat adapted. Like you have a little bit of something with sugar in it and it tastes so sweet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost overwhelming. Like a bite of an apple is like, wow. You know what I mean? Like because you become so sensitive to that taste. And you really get disgusted and or sick from eating something really bad. You know, you put an Oreo in your mouth and it's just like you could really taste the chemical sugar grossness of it. And it's like it's horrifying to you anymore.
Yes. There's so much truth in that. Our bodies have been so – I mean, and you think about it, how many years has it taken for us to develop – our taste buds in that direction where these are the things that that are normal to us, but it really doesn't take very long of eating a real diet. Once you can get your blood sugar under control, so you're not craving that sugar anymore, then all of a sudden foods start to taste so real. And when you chew your food like you should, it really brings out that sweet in all the carbohydrates too. Like to me, I can't eat the big old Honeycrisp apples that are, you know, the size of your head and loaded with sugar.
Right.
I can't even eat those anymore because they're so darn sweet. And so that's a good stepping point for someone. You know, if they are used to eating the Oreos, try eating the Honeycrisp apples and then try switching to an organic Granny Smith apple. And you know, as you do that, then your taste buds do change. It does happen for real.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Jamie, give us, if you had one takeaway, for our listeners, what would that one takeaway be? The most important thing you could tell our listeners right now?
Oh, there's so many good things to say. How about two? Can I give two?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, one super simple, move every day. Do something to move your body every day. Ideally to sweat, that would be good. But movement, you know, jumping jacks are awesome. Getting your people forget that your lymphatic system doesn't have a pump, like your heart pumps your blood. We need to physically pump our lymphatic system and that'll help. Holy, look up what your lymph system does if you're not up on that one. And just in overall health, that's huge. And then the other piece is one of the Bible verses that actually it's on my t-shirt right now. It's 2 Chronicles 15:7. It's be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. And just don't give up. This world is really... it's difficult, especially in the summertime. You know, we're surrounded by booze and barbecues and, you know, things that don't fit this healthy dietary lifestyle for us. And so you get a lot of ridicule from people that are not on the same boat. They're not on the same health journey. And, you know, it's like the shaming comes into it. Like, oh, you're not going to drink a beer. What's wrong with you?
You know, like misery loves company. They want you to feel the same way they do. Because if you're super healthy and they're not, there's a problem there, right?
Yeah. And it's insecurities coming out and you become attacked. But overall, just, you know, don't give up. And if you're doing really good for a couple weeks and you have a bad afternoon, or you eat something terrible for breakfast, don't let that equate to I'm just going to throw this whole day out. Like if you maybe, you know, ate something that you shouldn't have for breakfast, eat something healthy for lunch and something healthy for dinner and get right back on. I talk with all my clients about your bounce back rate. What's your bounce back rate? If you fall off the wagon, are you going to wait a year? Mm-hmm. Are you going to wait a month? Or are you going to say the next decision that I make is going to be a good one. And right on. So make sure that you, you really just stick to it. And 2 years from now, you'll sure be glad that you did.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. So, Jamie, if some of the listeners want to get a hold of you, do you do online training? Do you do over the phone, or can people that's not necessarily in your neighborhood get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I do some things online, and I mean, I have some Alaska clients and some Mississippi clients right now, and we make it work. So it's always fun to be face to face, but technology makes for this to happen.
Absolutely.
I'm available online at revolutionworldfitness.com. You can check that out. Otherwise, we're revamping right now, so forgive, we're expanding. So my website's kind of about me right now, and we're changing it to make it about my team.
Awesome.
Which is way cooler than just me. And so there's that. I'm available via email at jamiebells@revolutionworldfitness.com. And I'm more than happy to work with people in whatever way. I mean,
right on.
Whatever that is.
Well, send me those links via email real quick, and I'll drop them into the show notes. So if people want to look you up, they can.
That sounds great. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank you for being on the show, and Mountain Man Nutrition, and awesome podcast. Thanks for being here.
Have a great day, Jeffrey.
You too. Bye-bye.